CliffCentral.com.
Hey, hey, good morning, everybody. Look who's here. It's the gorgeous Lebang Khosana. Hello, Lebang. How are you? I think you're on mute there. You're still on the mute, baby. Bubba. There we go. What's happening? Ooh, that voice sounds deep this morning. What's going on there, huh?
It is. This is my bedroom voice. Yeah. It's my Marvin
Gaye.
Nice.
That's your... Wanna get sexual healing. Sexual.
Yeah, you know.
Love it. Oh, I love it. Al Green. You got to get that Al Green sound going. That's what you need. Everybody thinks of Marvin Gaye. They don't give Al Green the credit he deserves. Al Green with...
Let's
stay together. Love that. That's even better.
Yeah.
All right. We've got Bakavanta joining us in a moment as well. So we've got a busy day ahead of us on cliffcentral.com and plenty of stuff to talk about. We're going to get to all of that in a moment. There's lots going on in the news, which we have to talk about. We'll talk to Phil Kutzer, who's at DeWitt Motors, find out what the hell's happening in the world of cars. And also in Mpumalanga, where it must be getting pretty cold now in the mornings, early in the mornings. You know, there are parts of South Africa where, and I know we've discussed this once or twice before, but it bears repeating. If there was a competition for the coldest parts of South Africa in winter, the Free State would obviously win hands down, right? I mean, that place and the parts of the Eastern Cape that are also very, very cold. KZN, maybe in the mountains, but otherwise they get away with like a pretty tropical, not too bad winter. Gauteng's dry, but it's not ever that freezing cold that you get in the middle of the country. But there are also those little pockets of Mpumalanga, like in Dullstroom and Ermelo and places like that, where it is not lekker to be in the middle of winter. So we'll speak to Phil. He lives there. We'll find out what he can tell us about that. We also have plenty more on the way, including Rich Mulholland joining us again, which hasn't happened for some time. So we're going to catch up with Rich and see what's going on with him. Loads of good stuff for this Tuesday morning, and hopefully you are up and Adam and ready to go first thing.
I think like the fact that you were able to wake up in this cold at 6 a.m give yourself a pat on the back,
right?
The hardest part of your day is done, because just getting out of bed, just day after day, it feels like more and more of a struggle.
It is
like your blankets speak to you and they say, where do you think you're going?
Yes, as you know,
this
morning my blankets were talking to me and they were saying to me, don't leave. It's bad out there. The world is horrible. And you know, if you're brave enough to just put one arm out of the blankets, you suddenly it hits you like a ton of bricks. You're like, ooh, is that what it's really like out there? Not great.
Yeah. And then maybe I can stay in here.
No. I mean, you need that first cup of coffee to get your day started too. So we're with you for that as well. All right. Let's see who's in the comments section this morning, because there are lots of things here. Sun Marie's talking about your glasses again. People love the glasses and the matching top there. The pink that you have going on. Freedom Fighter says Primeval Broadcasting has taken on Randall Abrams as a CEO for Prime Media Broadcasting. Isn't that cool? I think it's cool.
That's crazy. Yeah. I read that whole thing. I was like, oh, okay, whoa, interesting. But like, if not him, then who, right?
Well, you know, there are so few talented, experienced people in radio management in this country. And I will say, like, Randall for a little while was my boss at SABC as well. And I've always got along with him very well. Obviously, we work together on Idols. We've laughed and talked a lot of nonsense. We've got plenty of music that we talk about. In fact, I was messaging him out of the blue on Thursday last week because I was listening to some songs on the way home. And whenever that happens, then we send each other like screenshots of songs. So it's kind of, we've got that sort of friendship going. But when he was my boss, he does manage things well, and he's not afraid to make tough decisions, which I think in radio people need to start doing, because otherwise the runway is getting shorter and shorter for what's left for radio. And I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for the people at Prime Media. I really hope that he has tremendous success there. I can only see a couple of really interesting moves happening and taking place there under his guardianship, and let's see what actually transpires. But I think it's a good move. I really do.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good move. He does really come across as the kind of person that, like, you can, like, probably laugh and joke with, but he gets shit done. Like, there's a line mm-hmm. that you probably shouldn't cross with him. Like, if you work for him, just, you know, stay on par. He seems like that, like a good kind of boss. Like, he'll whip you into shape. And it's just interesting times for broadcasting as a whole. So it's going to be nice to see what he does.
Well, he's a smart guy. People forget that he started YFM. Along with the team that came in there. Canthan was there. He was there. There were a lot of very, very smart people who made that happen. Greg Maloka, obviously, as well. So those are the guys who were brave enough to start a brand new station in a time where everything else was established. And they made a huge impact. I mean, there was nothing like YFM at the time. And they made everybody else a little bit scared for a little while. So that was part of it. He also turned around two record companies, which is impressive. He turned around the SAMAs. When he was in charge of the South African Music Awards, it actually became a thing again. Remember? So,
no, but...
you don't, but it was him. He was the one who made it cool again. And I do think that he has his hands on the controls there, and he'll make a difference. God knows they need it. All right, so...
yeah.
Let's get cracking with a few things that are in the news this morning and some stories that you may want to refer to. Just some breaking news for this morning. You know, I hate when it's like someone died, but ENCA are reporting this morning that former Rhythm City actor Jamie Bartlett has died at age 55. Bartlett was best known for playing the role of David Gennaro in the ETV soapy. A close family member confirmed his passing to ENCA. So, I know people are going to be looking up his picture because, I mean, I don't remember who's who in the soap operas, but this is what he looks like. Jamie Bartlett, he played a couple of roles on South African TV, so I think he's quite well known to audiences. Bald, he had a little beard, and he was usually cast as the bad guy in a lot of these things.
He played that role so well. Absolutely. So well.
So I don't really know a lot about him. I don't watch a lot of soap operas, but nonetheless, I recognize the guy, and I'm sad to hear that he died. I'm not sure why. Nobody knows the details, but he is no longer. And I thought I'd just mention that as a breaking news story this morning for those people who are just waking up and want to know what the hell's happening. So there we go.
If you ever found yourself randomly, like in Bram or like Maboneng, between like 2017 and like 2019, he would literally be there just being the life of the party, just by himself, walking around, holding this really cute artsy-fartsy bag. And he just like walk up to people and just be so energetic and be like, hey, how are you doing? Like he was just a lively guy. You know, even like this past week, he had an event with like Somizi on the Thursday. This man was living to the T. So it's very, very like upsetting to hear that, you know, he's just gone just like that, just poof. And it's just a constant reminder that life be like that, bro. Like, you have to live it to the T, because one day you won't be here, you know?
So you just mentioned Somizi, and I haven't spoken to him for a little while, but I see his show is being advertised everywhere at the moment. So I assume things are going well for him, because the last time we checked in, he had been shit-canned by a bunch of places because of the breakdown in his relationship and allegations of abuse and all kinds of things. And I don't know whether to give those any credence at all. Usually my gut instinct is ignore it, because it's usually nonsense that the media cooking up, especially when they try to make one person the bad person and the other one the good one. Because as we've seen from, I have to say it, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, we know that nobody is perfect, and we know that there's no good guy and there's no bad guy. But
is that our soundboard now?
Well, unfortunately, you know, people's memory is like 5 minutes at a max, so that's what we've got. That's what we got to work with. We realize that we've got goldfish brains. So if I say Amber Heard, Johnny Depp, people are like, oh, can understand. If you say to them,
now I get it.
You know, if you say, let me think of an example from ancient history. Even someone from not that long ago. I mean, even when Nelson Mandela and Winnie broke up, remember? It was like he was the good guy and she was the bad guy. And it was just too...
And that's the end. Yeah,
too simplistic. So I didn't really pay much attention to the breakdown of Somizi's marriage. I didn't really pay attention to the media noise around it. It seems he's back up and running and doing very well. Am I right?
Yeah, I think you made the right choice there because it really was just a lot of noise. At some point he was cancelled.
Yes.
It was just a lot of fluff, like, you know, you did this, who did that, blah, blah, blah. And true to form, like in classic social media time, 7 days later, everybody got over it. Somebody else was being cancelled. And Somizi's back to work. You know, the only thing that is happening, it seems like his ex-husband is trying to, you know, get some of the estate and blah, 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 blah. So there's still a bit of drama, but he's still working, you know, with or without the drama. He's just focused on, you know, the bag and his brand and continuing to build this legacy that I think he's trying to build. So, yes, the show goes on, basically.
So Sutherland in the Cape has to be the coldest, according to Congo Chris. But I like this too. The coldest place has to be a lonely bed on a Friday night. That is about right.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's probably about right. Believe it or not, I slept on tiles last night. Blow up mattresses are shit, says EP47. Were you staying over at a friend or like, what's the story there? Because that is cold.
Is this a choice?
That's
cold. Sorry, dude. Are you practicing for Survivor? What's going on? Damn.
And here's a bit of advice from Sun Marie. She says the best tactic is to switch it on the bedside light because the blinding light will wake you whether you like it or not. I suppose that's a good way to go. I mean, we're supposed to respond to light, right? That's the kind of animals we are. Our circadian rhythms are determined by the sun coming up and the sun going down long before we had electric light. So that would make sense. Sanele says, morning, Gareth and Lebang and the latecomer Buckies and a rip Jamie David Gennaro Bartlett, one of two of South Africa's best villains, the other one being Robert Barker Haynes Whitehead. Yes.
Yeah, he was two, really known for those roles, man.
Those two are definitely the bad guys in South African soapies. Cyberag says, Jamie Bartlett, remember him from the early days of Isidingo. Oh, yeah, I remember that too. Okay, very, very good. Home Affairs rejected the visa of that vampire Papa Bushiri, apparently, this morning. So that's interesting. I can't say I feel bad about that. I mean, I would like to say, oh, no, you're Home Affairs, you're useless, and, you know, complain about them like we usually do. I think it's good that they denied him entry to this country. There are at least a few.
This is probably one of the few times we can actually say, good on you, Home Affairs, you're actually doing something.
Correct. We'll
keep that energy. Keep that same energy.
Absolutely. Oh no, Lebang has discovered something super gross. Her housekeeper has done something.
Too early, Gareth.
No, come on, you got to tell us. You got to tell us. Go on. What happened?
It's so early. It's not even 6:30 yet.
Go on, tell the people. The people. People have got to know whether or not their housekeeper is a crook or if they're gross.
Guys, okay, so I'll just kickstart by saying just be careful when selecting a housekeeper. If anything, if you don't actually need one, then don't get one because housekeepers can just be tricky because you'll never know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday I was doing my laundry and as you know, I'm back at mom's place. So like it's good vibes, blah, blah, blah. And while I was taking like the laundry that was in the machine out, like I saw something that looked familiar. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Let me take these out so I can put mine in. So I see like a bunch of like my old undergarments and I'm like, okay, this is interesting. Why would my old undergarments be getting washed? So I'm like, I ask her, I'm like, hey girl, what's up? You know, these look very familiar and you know your underwear, you know, you know, your boxers that you wore 4 years ago, you know, like where there's a little, you know, missing stitch and where the, you know,
so, exactly.
So I'm like, yes. I'm like, hey girl, you know, what's going on? She's like, no, there was a time, you know, before you moved out, they were just like sitting here. So, you know, I was like, you thought what? And she just like started apologizing and was just like, oh, you know, you weren't using them. Dude, I was so grossed out. I literally said to her, look, please, can you just give them all back to me so I can just dispose of them?
Yeah.
It's not about the fact that I'm using them or not. That is just a violation of like,
You would rather go out. And I know I would. I'd rather go out and buy brand new underwear for the housekeeper than have them wearing your old stuff, which is like a hugely especially your underwear, man. I mean, like, I don't want anybody wearing my old underwear. I don't like that.
Bro. And it's all for a reason. Like, there's a reason I no longer wear it. It's because it's no longer in wearable, you know.
Yeah, but then, you know what? Okay, so a couple of things here. First of all, you have to be responsible for throwing out your old underwear. So when 100%. It is old, put it in the rubbish. In fact, you should put it in a chakas, in the rubbish.
Start a fire outside, burn it or something. But the point is,
that stuff must not exist. You know, it must not exist.
It mustn't exist. Yeah, it absolutely shouldn't exist. So I literally had, like, I was sort of like in a place, I was like, should I get her undies? Should I offer her, you know, the olive branch of, hey girl, you know, would you like some? Mm. But I was just so upset at that time because
the
I
other
just
thing,
felt, you know, violent.
And now I'm going into controversial territory here is, I know that you're explaining to us how you talk to her with this, hey girl, you know, what's going on here? But it needs to be a different kind of relationship with a housekeeper.
Definitely.
And I know you're kidding because I know you've managed people before, but you can't be friends. You know, like I've got family members who they are I promise you they sit down and have lunch with the housekeeper every day. They're like best friends with them. They tell each other story. That is not a healthy relationship for someone who works in your house and has unbelievable access to, you know, the most intimate things in your life. You've got to maintain an arm's length relationship with someone who works for you in your house because you're not best friends. Sure, you can joke. You must obviously be friendly because there's no reason not to be friendly. You don't need to have this like aloof relationship with them. You don't need to be mean or any of that stuff, but it needs to be very professional. The moment you get too friendly, you're going to end up in a situation where, hey, I thought I could use this because, you know, you weren't using it for like 3 months. I saw this thing sitting there and I thought, well, you don't need it, so I'm just going to use it. Gotta be
Gareth,
rules.
There's absolutely rules. No excuse. Like, you see somebody's panty and bra and you say, oh, you haven't been using this, so I just figured. You're definitely right. There has to be like a line that you don't cross with the help, because once that line gets crossed, you're screwed. Then it does become, they're no longer at work. They are now a part of the family, or they just get a little bit too comfortable. And, you know, I don't speak to her like that. It's not that like bestie kind of relationship. It's just...
But some people do, hey? Some people do, Lebang. I know. I've got someone in the family who does this with the woman who helps clean her house. She is her best. I promise you, they have lunch together if they're both at home at the same time. Yeah.
No.
And you cannot be like that. So here is a disgusting story that'll make yours pale into insignificance from Woody. I once shat myself in a mall when I wanted to fart. I then went to the toilet, cleaned up, and threw my undies away in the bin there. Being a bare ass in jeans is not a plan. So you've got to throw them away, Lebang. That's the lesson that Woody's right. You've got to throw them away. Hey, Bagabantu, what's up?
Hey, B. Are you wearing any underwear today?
What's up?
What a gross story to come in on.
That's the rule. You always wear underwear, guys. I don't know these people going... in commando everywhere.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah, like, I don't know what Woody's doing being out there commando in jeans. You know, you always wear underpants. One rule my mom taught me: underwear, a vest, underwear, and you can't skimp on socks, because what if you die on your way to work?
That's always the thing. They always say that. They always say that.
When they open
car
up your body, you have holes in your underpants.
Yeah, it's so embarrassing. I mean, listen. I think that, you know, also underwear is something that is the only person who knows is you or the person who is seeing you in a sexual situation or before you go to bed at night. So those hopefully that's someone who you want to impress. So why would you wear shitty, holy underpants? I'll never forget that story about Joost van der Westhuizen. Remember when with the hooker and then she said he had holes all over his underpants? And I was like, ew, that's so gross. Like, if I'm ever in, like, some kind of scandal, they must say, oh, but he had nice underwear on, hey? Mm.
Yeah, like, oh, did you guys see his socks, though? Damn, Gareth, those socks were fire. That needs to be how people remember you.
Right.
Not with the guy that had holes in his undies and his socks. Exactly. I completely agree.
All right.
Exactly. It's like these people going around in malls in in PJs. Like, if you wear your best PJs, I don't think they look like PJs. I think you look like luxurious.
But like, the problem was when like one of these store owners, I think it was like ShopRite, they actually released a statement saying
spa.
You are not allowed to enter our store or spa. If you're wearing pajamas, you're not allowed to enter our store. And people really got upset because people wake up, put on a gown and slippers and go to the shops. It's such a normal thing. They don't care about the hygiene of others. They don't care about the hygiene of self, clearly, as long as they can do their shopping and go home.
You
and
see now, if... Yeah, there's two types of people in the world. There's people who wear other people's panties, and there's people who go to spa.
Yeah, well, I am neither of those groups, but Sanele has just said something really, really upsetting.
I mean, either.
This is bad. Lebang, what if she once wore your underwear, then took it off, washed it, and put it back with the rest? Yeah.
Dude, Sanele, you know, like the superstitions that we have as black people when it comes to like personal garments. Dude, you can't. Like, now I have to throw them all away and start afresh because now I'll just never know. What if it's an obsession? What if she's just got like some cycle thing? You see, now I'm literally living on the edge.
Yep.
Because like, now I'm just like, hey, I can't trust anything anymore. So,
that's right.
Oh, thanks, Sanele, for that.
Carl says it reminds him of an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where the chiropractor had torn underwear. And Larry, who was the client or the patient, stopped going to that chiropractor because as he bent over, he could see like his underwear, the band around the top of the underwear was all like frayed and torn. He was like, I can't trust someone who's got underwear like that. They're low personal hygiene.
What does it say about you? You know, like, do you care about yourself on that level? How are you going to care about me? If you don't even care about yourself. No,
but like, how do you put on these underwears with holes? Like, what are you doing with your life? Wouldn't you like, it has a hole. That's not the hole where the leg goes. I don't know how people do it.
Well,
I can't. It has to. Can't skimp on that.
No, you have to pay. You have to pay for good underwear. Please believe me. Like, this is not something that I'm willing to compromise on. And I mean, I don't keep them past their sell-by date either. I think you've got to know when it's time, and you take them, you put them in echagas, you tie it up, and you throw it in the rubbish.
And you start a fire outside and you burn them.
Guys, you skip a couple of things. You start a fire and you burn them. You don't throw away underwear, guys.
Yeah, I've heard. So growing up, I was told the same thing.
Tell me about this superstition around underwear. Because you were saying just now, you know, as black people, we have superstition. Do you mean that if someone wears that, they take a bit of you and they can... there's any of this stuff around like a body part being used for like muti or something like that? If they use your underwear, can it be used for evil purposes by an umtagati? No. Or is there any of that?
No and yes. No and yes. Yes in the sense of like just witchcraft. The word
no and yes. Witchcraft. Yeah, like...
So it's not like specifically underwear. It's just like any item of clothing that belongs to you, that is yours, should be yours. You know, you shouldn't share it with other people. If you pass it down, it's like, you know, you need to separate, I guess, what your soul from that item of clothing. Otherwise, like people who are very evil go out there, take your items of clothing and use them against you, and then your life won't proceed. So, I mean, can you imagine an undergarment, like my whole panty?
Yeah.
You've got access to my what? Nah, girl. This is why you must burn. You gotta burn your undies.
Because your clothes have your essence, Gareth. Your clothes have your essence in them, and anyone can pick up on that essence.
Oh my God.
So now your underwear has the most essence because it's touching you in places. The most essence. So now you need to burn that.
So things like shoes, I keep my stay away from other people's shoes.
Shoes, socks, you keep them in a checkers. When you go back to the villages, then you're like,
Yeah. Bakabantu, we've got like a bit of a delay on the...
That's how we do it.
I'm going to throw you out and put you back in because there's a bit of a delay on your channel here. So hopefully it comes back with less of a delay. So here's an interesting one. Michael says, life is too short to find matching socks or to wear underwear. So let's just be clear again. You do not have to match your socks to your underwear. No one's asking you to do that. No one ever checks like socks and underwear. I don't think that's a thing. Is it? And then
no, but even like the socks don't have to match technically. Like I just kind of take whatever socks are there. If it's like a blue one and a purple one, I'm like, yay, socks. Well, especially if they're not like if it's I mean, like no one's going to be seeing them.
Whole books have been written about where those missing socks go. That you know, you find one but not the other one, and you know they've done all kinds of things now to try and make it easier for you to find the socks. Like they put like a you know different colors on the socks, and then you can find the matching one easily if you buy those packs of like 12, and they're all different colors, so that you know which ones are which, even if it's just the toe area. But I still find. Like if I've suddenly got a sock that's all on its own and forlorn, I would prefer to wear the matching ones, but it's not essential. If they're both black socks, for example, yeah, who's gonna check? That's not the end of the world. Underwear, different story. But it doesn't have to match anything. The underwear can be completely different to the rest of the outfit. Totally unimportant.
But like what's like the turnaround time? And this is like really gross, but like you mentioned that you don't, you know, keep underwear like past its expiry date.
Yeah.
What is that? Do you like change your, you get a new set every 4 months?
No, so it depends because I'm not going to be wearing them every day and I've got a wide variety. So some I may only wear like once a month and therefore they could last for a very long time. But how it starts to look when it starts to, when the threads start coming undone in the little band that goes around them or they have a hole or then it's time. Or if they start getting the colors are very faded and it starts looking a bit embarrassing and shameful and sad.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing worse than talking sad, to you. Like sad underwear.
And saying, I'm tired. Would you wear it in public? If the answer is no, throw me away. In fact, don't throw me away. Go outside and burn me. That's it.
And I've never worn someone else's socks by mistake or anything. You know, like when you you go away for the weekend or whatever and someone does washing and then you end up with like someone else's stuff or someone leaves things at your house or whatever. And that's not so great. But I've never put them on by mistake and gone, okay. You know, here's an interesting question. This is from Carl. He says, I have a male friend, apparently straight, who wears a thong. That is offsides.
That sounds extremely comfortable for him.
Do you think it's comfortable? I've never tried a thong, but I can't imagine it would be comfortable.
Even if you did, Gareth, please don't share that information with us.
I won't, but I do not.
The possibility.
No. I do not like the idea of having like a string riding up the crack of my ass. I don't like that idea at all.
Thongs are comfortable, to be honest. They actually are. In fact, they're more comfortable than like the full-blown, what I call a full bahaza, like the actual full-blown undies. Because the full-blown undies has just all this material. It's just too much going on. Sometimes you don't need that much material. And trust me, like I know because I've got quite a lot of booty. So generally, I grew up thinking, I need to cover all of this, have it all intact and compact. Mm-hmm. And as I grew up, I'm like, why am I taking out this wedgie every 2 minutes? No, just the thong, just, it just, you know, just it lets everything hang.
I can tell you right now, I don't know any guy who has ever admitted to me that he wears a thong. So I'm not sure about that. But you know what? Different strokes. What can I say? Carl,
I think.
Go ahead.
Anything to hang.
You don't want anything to hang.
You what?
I think for guys, you don't want anything to hang.
Yeah, but you still, as I understand it, like a woman's G-string, there's like a thing in the front, but then there's just the string around the back. So there's nothing hanging technically, but I wouldn't want a string. It would feel weird. Maybe it's because when we were at school, the worst fear you had was getting a wedgie, you know?
Maybe
that's where the fear of the G-string comes from. It's not something that...
There generally would be like if you grew up getting wedgied like in school or whatever, you would have that fear. But perhaps this is step one to getting past your fear is to just get into the thong vibe. It'll save you so much. Like really all these like big ass panties and it's too much. It's just not comfortable. Like
Ruth calls it butt floss. Yeah. All right, so EP47 says thongs are sexy as fuck. Do you prefer granny panties? Yeah, well, listen,
that's a good question. It's
up to each person. I would rather wear granny. Men don't wear granny panties, but you know what I mean. Like, I'd rather wear like some long ass boxers than a G-string. I've never tried that. It's not on my list of things to do. Sorry. Anyway, this is funny. Hanging out with Jay says, my underwear always gets a hole right there in the bullseye at the back. I don't get it. Maybe there's a lot of activity going on there.
Yeah, it sounds like it's 2-for-1. You don't have to take them off.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like happy. For easy access.
All right. Well, we've got to leave this behind. We've got to get to some headlines this morning. Let's see what's going on in the headlines. First story you need to hear about today is a formula milk. There are online groups that are hunting for baby milk during a shortage in the U.S. This is interesting because the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, right, they have basically been really useless in all of this. Instead of okaying certain European and English UK formula that could have been imported if they'd just okayed it, they've just sat there on paperwork. And now, apparently, the critical baby formula shortage is putting a lot of people into a very uncomfortable situation. I mean, Lebang, you will be the best person to talk about this. How important is baby formula? And if you couldn't find some, how desperate would it make you as a mom?
Oh, man, I'd absolutely lose my mind, because here's the thing that they don't tell you about breastfeeding. That thing is hard. It's very difficult. It's not easy to maintain. And they always shove it down your throat that if you're a good mom, you'll breastfeed. If you're a bad mom, you'll give your child formula. So you always want to try. And when you try and it doesn't work out, you feel the pressure and you eventually have to get the formula. So, Gareth, if I ever woke up and I went to the store and I couldn't get formula, I would freak out, because what am I going to do? I can't feed my child from myself because I'm struggling, whether it's to maintain a diet or whether I'm completely stressed with work or whatever the case is. So it would really put me in a quite a tight situation. It wouldn't be pleasant at all, to answer your question. And it's just completely unfair that this is the reality for most mothers in America. What's going on there?
Well, there are a whole lot of moms who have taken to the internet to try and hunt for wherever they can find baby formula, because it's very, very difficult for them to get hold of at the moment. And it's a serious crisis. I mean, if you are a mom and you don't, let's say that you can't breastfeed, a lot of women can't, or if you've got more than one kid that needs to be breastfed and you need that formula. And frankly, it's a very, you can't make it yourself at home. You can't just make it out of other ingredients. So this is a tight and tough and horrible situation for a lot of people. And you know, it doesn't help for people to say, well, breastfeed your kid. If there isn't formula, it's a big problem. So
that's not the answer. That's really not the answer. Literally, I promise you, Gareth, breastfeeding consistently is one of the hardest things like a woman can do. Mm. And it's like you're saying, if you've got other little kids, so my 3-year-old is still on formula right now. Well, she's turning 3. My 1-year-old is also on formula.
Right.
And I'm giving birth in a couple of weeks. So if I choose to breastfeed my newborn, I'm still going to need formula for the 2 other little ones. So imagine if they didn't have formula, what would I be doing?
Right.
Giving them like watered down pup? No, man.
Can't do that. Belgium is the first country to introduce compulsory monkeypox quarantine. Now,
that sounds disgusting.
Yeah, you know, it's almost as disgusting as this monkeypox. So apparently, the Belgian health authorities took a decision on Friday. The monkeypox is a disease in the same family as smallpox. Symptoms include a distinct bumpy rash, a fever, sore muscles, and a headache. Monkeypox is less deadly than the smallpox. Mortality rate below 4%. Okay, so let's take all of these little bits of info in, because otherwise it becomes a coronavirus situation where people just lie about who it affects, why it affects them. You know how we heard, oh, it's going to kill everybody. Remember with corona in the beginning? Everybody's in danger. Kids, old people, bullshit. Yep. Turned out it was just older people who were at serious risk, people who were overweight, people who had lung conditions. But nobody listened to that, and eventually we were all running around terrified that it was us next. We were going to die. So monkeypox is less deadly than smallpox. Mortality rate is way below 4%. Experts are worried about the unusual spread of the disease beyond Africa, where it usually circulates. Oh, so we've already got it in Africa. So, okay, then we've probably got natural immunity. Anyway, the Belgian Institute of Tropical Medicine has said that the risk of a larger outbreak in the country is low. talking on Twitter, the microbiologist Emmanuel André, who is in charge of the National Reference Lab in Belgium, on Saturday said the fourth case had been confirmed in the country. So what they're saying is it is spread by sexual contact mostly. So if you're not having sex with a stranger, you don't have to worry about monkeypox, apparently. That's what they're saying.
But you know, South Africa, dude, with the way we like things, like you'll see any week now, monkeypox would have arrived. They would have started with all the, hey guys, all the chaos will begin. People will start freaking out. That's just the natural cause of things, especially after COVID-19. People are already like, yeah, prepare yourselves. It's on its way. Yeah. You know, South Africans, we're gonna feel left out if it doesn't come here. We'll find a way to be like, yeah, we're gonna need a vaccination, comrades, of the monkeypox because it's here. Everybody, please put on a mask, even though it has nothing to do with the mask.
Don't you love that accent?
It's like, yeah, you know exactly who I'm talking about when I speak like that. That's
government. Yeah, government. What did you want to say, Bhagavantu?
I think you stopped going commando. That's the new one. The government will enforce us to wear underwear.
Yeah, they'll have people checking. You know, the security guard at the entrance to check us is going to say to you, excuse me, I want to check quickly if you have got the underwear. Otherwise, maybe I'll spread the monkeypox. And also, maybe you could get monkeypox if your housekeeper is stealing
your... No thong.
No thong. You are out if you got thong. No thong. All right. Well, apparently, I feel sorry for everybody, including politicians who were evacuated from their houses in KZN because of the flooding over there over the weekend. So KwaZulu-Natal Premier Sihle Zikalala was among the residents forced to evacuate their homes in Lamercy, north of Durban, during the weekend floods that caused damage throughout the city. Zikalala, who lives in a small coastal community there, said he was working with others in the area to evacuate people and restore road access. He said, yesterday I worked till late coordinating the evacuation of people in the danger zone. I also drove myself out with my three boys, but all of this could not have been achieved without the support and prayers of the one and only Nelly Zikalala. That's his wife. So you know what? Occasionally these things hit everybody equally, because they're acts of God, they're acts of nature. And here's poor old Sihle Zikalala having to evacuate his home along with everybody else. Got to say, though, Lamercy is a nice area to live in. And I mean, you would expect the Premier to live in a nice area, right?
Yeah, but I mean, as you're saying, when God decides it's time, it doesn't matter who lives where. Like, we all become equals. At that point, when that water comes flooding in, amen, we are one. And it's a nice reminder of that.
Yeah.
Not nice, but it's just a reminder of that.
Pumlani says, oh no, shit. Are they going to spray sanitizer up your ass because of the monkeypox?
Pumlani, how did you know? Oh, don't jinx us. Don't jinx us.
Can you imagine? Imagine the same people who've been saying to us all over the country, sanitizer. Imagine them saying to you,
mm-hmm.
Bend over. Oh, man. Okay, I don't want to think about that. Cape Town is getting new traffic lights with plans to roll them out to the rest of South Africa. This is interesting. They've announced a new traffic signal system, which will be tested at key intersections over the next 6 months. Apparently, it is specifically designed for the city's public transport system and aimed to end confusion among motorists at these intersections. Up till now, I've served both for private vehicles and my city buses. The bus signals were often mistaken for vehicular traffic, resulting in private vehicles reacting erroneously and causing unfortunate collisions. Now, so they've got bus-only signals. Is that right? Is that what it is?
This is a bit sus.
I don't know how that works. I would probably be one of those people in the collisions. Anyway, it's good. Let them try it out in Cape Town first. If they can't get it right, then they'll have to stop rolling it out and we won't have to worry about it. Good luck, Cape Town.
I have to ask.
Good luck.
Can we have taxi-only signals?
I think we do.
No, we already do.
We already do.
They
do whatever they want. Yeah.
It's this
It's hand signals.
Flashing.
Yeah, correct.
It's everything.
So I don't know what you're talking about, Bhagavantu. We've already got taxi-only signals, except that nobody really knows, and they're still unpredictable. And even though the taxi driver's signaling, he could change his mind at any moment. That's how
at any point. And it's not in the K53 book either. Uh-uh. You just have to learn by experience. That's one of those things where you only realize and figure it out as you drive more often. So they exist, to answer your question.
Correct.
But I want to know, guys, and I guess there's a hierarchy of needs and wants and blah, blah, blah. But when they announce something like, hey, we're releasing new traffic lights because of ABC, don't you feel some type of way with regards to how many other problems that we actually have in the country? Like, some places still don't have water. Some places, mm-hmm. a lot of schools are still in disarray. And mm-hmm. you guys want to give us traffic lights, fancy traffic lights. Mm-hmm. I think we'll be okay without the fancy traffic lights. Let's prioritize. I don't know if it's just me.
This is the problem. No, you're absolutely right. But this is the problem with living in societies. You have to make choices. You can't sometimes have everything at once. And there are always going to be places and people who have absolutely nothing. And then they're going to be people who have all the latest cutting edge technology. And if we don't have inequality, we will not have development. What I mean by that is that the first person who can afford a huge television, one of those ones that takes up the whole wall. Remember those that they came out with in the 90s? One of my friends had one of those. And it cost like hundreds of thousands of rands. Now, if he couldn't afford that, if everyone could have afforded that, straight off the, it doesn't happen that way. Someone has to pay the expensive full price for something when it's brand new. And then as more and more people can afford it, it becomes cheaper. And they can make big flat screen TVs for everybody eventually. But we need inequality. Inequality, otherwise there's no development. And it's an unfortunate thing.
I just think the basics, dude. Let's just have running water. Let's have electricity. Let's have toilets. Let's have desks in schools. And then we'll look at the rest.
When it comes to government, you're right. And I think that's a fair point. But at the same time, do you want to go around to people who live in tiny little shacks in informal settlements and say to them, hey, you don't even have running water. I'm going to take your satellite dish away and rather give you water. You can't decide that for people. They must decide their own priorities. Am I right? Why are you laughing, Bhagavan? Do you think that's funny?
No, I agree with you in the sense that from an emotional standpoint, Lebang, you're right. It does make you feel somehow, but that's how society is just structured. It is a case where people being free are allowed to choose what they want, what they can afford, and all of these. And then it's that navigating that that ladder. But in terms of our country, where we're kind of dependent on government, our government does play around a lot with money. But in terms of the private sector, that is an entire individual situation. But our government does play around with money. It does make you feel somehow.
It does. I saw yesterday someone, apparently KZN wants to release a new Ferris wheel. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But dude, you just had a flood 2 minutes ago. Oh, I've got an idea. Let's build a new Ferris wheel. That'll attract more tourists. Yep. Okay. And we saw with this whole flag, this 22 million flag saga.
Absolutely.
You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
We're doing a whole lot of fluff and a whole lot of smoke and mirrors, but the real basics that the average South African just needs to survive, we can't cover that. All right.
Yeah,
there's a lot of putting lipstick on a pig in South Africa.
But it happens all over the world. Yeah. And, we've also got to remember that the budget that they have for traffic in the city of Cape Town is not in the big pot of money that is meant to be spent on school desks. They go to different departments and it has to be managed by different people. It's not as if, it all comes from one central pot. I mean, it does in terms of taxes, but the way that those are distributed and the way that the budgets are allocated is very, very different. And I'm not making excuses for government. I do think it's funny how government has had to backpedal on this flag, hey? That's been an interesting move.
I think it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Yeah. Do you really think we're going to sit here and let you guys clearly, fuck us, right into, you're showing us that you're fucking us?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, look at me fucking you. This is your hard-earned taxpayer money. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build a flag.
Yeah.
We don't need a flag, bro.
And then I think
the logic.
I think what sealed it, and again, this is a victory. This is a victory from the South African people against the government, just like the e-tolls were as well, where we just said, you know what, we're not paying. We're not going to do it. And this is a question of, we're like, we don't want your stupid flag. You take your flag with a 100-meter pole and shove it as far up your ass as a 100-meter pole will go. And people saw that interview of Natim Tetwas on JJ Tabani's show, and I think that's what made them go, you know what, actually, this guy's a moron, and he's in no position to be spending our money.
There was absolutely no logic. You could see that they were just clutching at straws, trying to find a reason as to why they came to this decision. No, because the steel and metal industry need an input, so you know, this pole will do that. Dog, this pole is, what?
Nonsense. Nonsense.
That's what killed me. That's what killed me, Lamarck. That's what killed me. It's like, he's like, oh no, it's exaggerated. It's not 22 million for the flag. It's like the quantity surveying the land, looking for the right position. I'm like, oh, guy. Nah,
dude, that's flag, not right. That flag, every time I drive past it, it better freaking know me. It better freaking make supper for me. It better freaking buy me a house. Like, it better, the lights better light up. Yeah. It better keep me warm at night. I have expectations of that flag. Right. If it's going to be 20 trillion. It can't just be another flag flying in the wind. Okay.
Well, I do think that a lot of stuff that we don't get as cut up about. I mean, the flag was such an obvious symbol of government wastage, but there are so many things that they say cost them, you know, it's going to cost us 4 billion to fix the roads in KwaZulu-Natal. Meanwhile, I think they could probably do it for 2 billion, but we know that there's 2 billion of fluff around it for some politician to get a payoff, for this person to do that. And what we saw with that Natim Tetwa interview is how that he doesn't actually know how to break down the costs. And someone has gone in there and inflated those costs because it's government money. In other words, it's taxpayers' money. Nobody's looking after that. If you can get your hand in the till, you get your hand in the till. Makes me wonder how many other things we're spending too much money on. Even things that they say we need, and things that let's agree with them we need. You know, basic infrastructure. But how much of it, if you had to actually break it down to see, like, how much does the gravel cost? How much does the tar cost? How much does the labor cost? If we actually work that out, how much profit is built in for all the people along the way, whether they're middlemen, whether they're councillors, whether they're politicians, whether they're the companies that are doing this for them because they can't do it in-house anymore. You know, there used to be a time where the provincial municipalities or even the cities themselves used to have their own crew that worked on these things. So it was all built in. Now, because there's so much thieving going on, everything has to be triple checked, and we have to have all these steps in place to make sure no one's stealing. And they still steal anyway. So it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder about
all of it. Everybody gets a cut. You know how it is, Gareth. Mm-hmm. Everybody at every single point has to get a cut.
Right.
And that, there's a lot of people at each, like, checkpoint. I don't know if you guys remember that stadium that they refurbished or whatever. And then when you look at the actual stadium, it's literally just, like, a couple of stands. And then, like, there's a big tape. They cut the tape and they go, oh, look at the stadium that we put up for you guys.
Well,
that stadium was bollocks.
I mean, Bakabantu was on the show on Thursday when we discussed this with Pumi, the one in Attridgeville, which they've now had to demolish because it hasn't been used since 2010, not once, and we built that especially for then. You know, it's the kind of wastage that absolutely kills me. So, I mean, according to Congo Chris, 22 million rand in the flag will translate to 4,000 RDP houses. Well, we know which one we want. We want those RDP houses. Thank you.
We do.
And this is where.
Oh no! I thought we wanted the flag.
Oh yeah, sure.
I thought the flag was going to end global warming and bring back electricity.
Yeah, I mean, Sanele is quite right. What was the worst about the Natim Tetwa? I think we played that interview here on the show. Is how he said when he was explaining why the flag matters. It lights at night because the education must go on during the day and night.
What fuckery is that?
I mean, really?
What is that? Oh.
See, a lot of them,
you don't need actual lights. You don't need ESCOM work. You need the flag.
Yeah, exactly. The irony is that he thinks that lights are going to be on all the time because ESCOM knows what they're doing. I mean, really.
ESCOM is that great. So the lights will be on. Ugh, Come on, guys.
And according to Congo Chris, did you see Eskom's offices in Port Elizabeth were shut off last week for failing to pay their electricity bill? Eskom's own offices didn't pay.
These jokes write themselves.
I know. Maybe we do deserve this government, huh? That's what I'm trying to.
What did we do to deserve this, Gareth?
Well,
really, what did we do?
I mean, if we are dumb enough to hire the worst people to run things, then don't we deserve some punishment? There's a horrible question to have to face up to.
The people that hired these people are on their way out. They're not going to be here to see these flags and to see these Ferris wheels and to see these fancy robots and stuff. They already on their way out.
Have you heard, by the way, there's a word that gets used more and more if you listen to government. And again, you have to actually listen to them, which is, I know it's a hard task because it's very boring. There's a word that they keep throwing in now because they can see that the horizon is not looking good. You know, they can see that they're going to be out soon. They'll be replaced by coalitions or whatever else. And the word they're using is legacy. They are trying to leave behind something that will prove they did something, which may in some cases result in a couple of good things happening, but I think mostly it will result in ego projects like a huge flagpole and nonsense like that. So people of South Africa, you've proven yet again that you can change their mind, you can turn them around, you can embarrass them into adopting a new strategy. Let's keep doing this. Keep your eyes open. All right.
Hoorah to us. Yeah, it's nice that something actually happened. Like, we made that much noise that they actually stopped. Like, they were like, okay, cool. If we proceed, it's not going to look good for us. And here we are trying to leave a legacy, in inverted commas. I'm sorry. That just sounds like they've run out of ideas to me.
Well, while we're talking about stupid things and...
But, like, it actually...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, it actually shows, like, a bankrupt of ideas if they think a flag is a legacy. What about houses? What about all of this? Like, what about grandstanding and doing like fancy stuff that's going to like, oh, the ANC did that for us. During the ANC's time, there was no load shedding. What about that?
How about that would be nice. All right. But here's something. Here's another display of how dumb people are. And this is not government. This is ordinary old us, because there are going to be people who will buy this piece of shit. But Adidas and Gucci are selling a 20,000 rand umbrella, but guess what? It's not even waterproof. So there is an umbrella.
The one function for an umbrella.
I mean, isn't this, this is the one reason you want an umbrella, right? And this thing is not waterproof. So,
well, no, I ask that's not you, why I want an umbrella.
Oh, well, okay. What do you want an umbrella for?
Guys, if it's Gucci, if my umbrella is Gucci and my umbrella is Adidas, I do not care if the water comes in or not. I am buying that purely to show it off. I'm buying that purely to stunt and show you guys that I've got money and I'm going to walk around with it even when there's no rain. That's it. It's just a part of my swag. It's like a handbag.
20,000 rand of swag. Here's what it looks like. There it is, Adidas and Gucci. We've got the Gucci colors. We've got the Adidas logo. It's got a wooden stick with like a G for a handle. There's a bit of brass detailing. And it's $1,290, translates roughly into 20,000 rand, and it's not even waterproof. What do we think of this? What do you think, Bakabantu? Are you with Lebang on this one?
I hate this, but they're calling it a sun umbrella, so I guess Lebang is on the money there about
a sun
about
umbrella,
it being
not
for rain. Yeah, a sun umbrella. It's only to protect you from the sun.
Okay,
it's
just there to be flash, man. It's there. Like rain is temporary, drip is forever, right? We all know that saying.
Wow.
Exactly.
Probably the EFF will be rocking this with their overalls.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. It's unbelievable. And Kokezo is saying the same thing. Drip is forever, not functional. Elbow cough. I think that's hilarious. Carl says, is that the Suntum umbrella? Fuck me. That umbrella is for those, says Parallel Parking, raining money who need shade from all the sunshine in their lives. And the G is to hook onto and catch a rich man. That handle.
Hey.
That's also interesting. Oh, the EFF will be outside the French embassy today, wanting for the French to leave the continent. Is this a thing? Is this really going on?
Apparently. I don't know how far they took it, but the last time I heard about it, like, the EFF was quite angry at the French being in South Africa, and like, yeah,
you know,
so they might be
those guys. I again, I don't want to go into party politics first thing in the morning because actually it's not that interesting. But the EFF have really run out of stuff to do. Like they will do anything at the moment for some attention because they're so irrelevant. You know, they've been left out of the conversation. They're being marginalized in every which way because we saw during coronavirus, they were useless. They didn't add any value at all. They were frightened of everything. They went along with the ANC on everything. They took shelter under, to use this metaphor, the ANC's umbrella during all of that time. And I think suddenly people are realizing, like, hang on a second. Anytime we hear from Julius or any of the other guys in the party is when they can make a noise about something dumb that doesn't affect most people's lives. Seems like they have run out of usefulness. So there's another thing we can dispose of along with 100-meter flags and Gucci umbrellas that don't keep you dry. I mean, I think let's just put all of these into the can and throw them away. And by the way, Sanella says, we will see that umbrella at Small Street in about a week selling for 20 Rand and it will actually be waterproof. I mean, you buy the fake one.
Exactly.
In that case, the Fong Kong is the one that you want. Hmm?
Yeah. Look, they can take the French out of South Africa, but we'll find those things there in town at Small Street. Those things aren't going anywhere.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, fine.
Yeah. If everyone had a job, says Kogetso, there wouldn't be a pool of unoccupied youths who can join the EFF protests on demand during working hours. That's exactly right. But you know what? That isn't the EFF's fault that there's such unemployment. That is the ANC's fault. So they are feeding the EFF a whole lot of young people who have nothing else to do. That's about right. What did you want to say, Bagabantu?
A lot of angry. No. Like that is actually true from Kogetso. A lot of angry young people that don't know where to direct their anger, and then Julius obviously orchestrates them into a frenzy against stuff that doesn't matter, like the French embassy.
Right, and they think it'll make a difference in their lives, but it's not going to. All right, it is 7 o'clock. When we come back, we got a whole lot more for you, including our friend Rich Mulholland, who we haven't spoken to in some time. I know a lot of people love hearing from Rich, and today I'm sure will be no different. So we'll talk to him. I've got a specific thing I want to talk to him about, which we'll get to as well. And yes, Therence just reminding us that Jamie Bartlett, a.k.a. David Gennaro from the soap operas, I think it was Rhythm City was his major role, and Isidingo, he died, and that was in the news early this morning, so obviously rest in peace, but thank you for that, Therence. It is 7 o'clock. We'll be back in a moment or two. Bakabantu and Lebang and me and you and everybody else, make sure that you are around for at least the next hour. We're going to have lots and lots of fun. Stay with us. CliffCentral.com